Peter said, we need to be remembering these things at all times, and he's not tired of bringing it to their remembrance. And he says, even after I die, I'm going to still get you to remember these things. So our constant reminder of these different things in different ways can not only give us the memory, but can also piece together different parts to give us more understanding. Remember, in the Old Testament, understanding is taking a part, and New Testament, putting it together. So we're going to be seeking to do both of these things at this time. We're sorry that Brother John can't be here, and again, he's working with sick people from time to time, and he apparently has come down with something and doesn't know for sure what it is, but we need to pray for him. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. The pathway to eternal life is described here in this verse. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we behold his glory in as in a glass, we are changed. And that's the plan that he has, that as we hear more of his word, we'll get more understanding, and the more understanding we get, the greater change that we'll have. So we're changed into the same image. So we need to see the image of Christ very clearly. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, at the same time, Jesus was transformed into the image of his Father, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest any the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the Lord does not want the world to see the image of God. And the reason is because they're not glorifying him as God, and when they hear the truth, they don't love the truth. So God calls men to lose their life for Christ and the gospel, and when men don't like that lesson, then he blinds them because they're not going to obey the commands of the Lord. And he doesn't want them to see these things, so he blinds them. But notice, Jesus Christ is in the image of God. So that's what we need to see, which the world is not allowed to see. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. We see Jesus steps as he grew into the image of his Father. And this is interesting that men say, well, Jesus is God, therefore we ought to worship God and pray to God, pray to Jesus. Well, Jesus is our master. We're to follow in his steps. And who did he pray to? And whose image did he want to be in? So we also want to be in the image of the Father, just like Jesus, and the Father caused him to grow into that image. And notice, the Father is doing this work in these verses. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that's in the form of men, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, that's the Father, in bringing many sons unto glory, so who's doing this, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So who did this work for Jesus? It was the Father. And we need the same help for the Father that Jesus did, so we can grow into the image of the Father, which is in the image of Christ. And what advantage then do we have? We have the example living here on earth in the form of a man, so that we can see his heart behind all of his actions and seek to have that same heart. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, the Father is the source of all these things, and he is having all these things himself. But to us, there's but one God, the Father, notice, of whom, that literally is ek, out of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So everything comes through Jesus, but Father is the source of all these things. So every good part of God's love comes from God, if we have it. In James, the first chapter, verse 18, we sometimes think that we do these things and therefore we get the heart of Christ because of what we did. Look what he says. Of his own will begat us he, James 1:18, with the word of truth, so he gave birth to us, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. And he says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect what comes from above. And so if we get any of these parts of the love of God, are they good and perfect gifts? And of course they are. And so we need to be seeking the Father to give us each different part of his love. So Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the Lord gives specific directions on how to be transformed into the image of Christ. And notice in the book of Romans, he starts out showing the old law is not what's going to save us, then gives us some understanding of our inner man. And then in chapter 12, actually in chapter 12, he begins to show us how to be transformed into the image of Christ. So he starts this lesson then by saying, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, how are we going to do that? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How are we going to do that? He says, don't be conformed to the world. That's your first step. What not to do, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this mind now, as we've been bringing in from time to time, which we need to understand what we are comprised with so we can use these things in the way he wants us to use them. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Remember in the Old Testament, he doesn't discern between mind and heart. New Testament, he does. And he makes many specific points concerning this mind. And that's probably one of the biggest emphasis in the New Testament is this word mind. So he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to know this mind. And if we do transform ourselves into the image of Christ, we can prove, show, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? That we come into his image, into Christ's image. So if we do that, we can show others what it means to be in that image. But we need to not be simple people. We need to be wise people and understand these things that he's revealing to us. In Matthew 6, verse 31, we will be conformed to this world unless we make a conscious determination to be different from the world. So he told us, don't be conformed to the world in Romans 12. Here he says, this is the way we will not be conformed to the world. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith all shall we be clothed? And of course, what's the world concerned about? All this woke stuff is probably as much concerned with clothing as it is anything else. What about the drink and the food? And of course, they're all completely involved in this because that's what they enjoy. That's what this world gives us to enjoy. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And of course, we're witnesses to that. They, Gentiles, which is the world, seeks these things every day, all day. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But now it's not like the world has. We need the sufficient food, sufficient clothing, and sufficient drink. Verse 33 says, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seeking the kingdom of God, that's to get into it and to get to be part of it and to live in it. And also as we live in it, we need to seek his righteousness so we can live in it better and better every day. So we need to make a clear determination to be different from the world, not just to be different like these woke people, but to be different in the fact that we don't love these things and we don't have confidence in these things. So we need to constantly make more and more of a difference between our mind and the world's mind. So we need to change every day. And how do we do it? By getting more understanding of God's word. John the 8th chapter, verse 23. Consider Jesus' mind, how it was totally different from the world. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So Jesus made it very clear to the Jews back in that time, they're following the Pharisees. So what were they doing? They're in the ditch. They were making their life full of food and drink and clothing and all the other joys of this world. And Jesus said, you're from beneath. You're enjoying this world and the things of the world. I'm from above. He's seeking those things that are with God in heaven. And he says, you are of this world. I am not of this world. Now, if we can think of ourselves in that way, would that make any difference? As we see the world and what they are emphasizing and what they are loving, we need to determine we're not going to be loving these things. We don't want to be doing the things the world is doing. We need to be very different. So Jesus was so different in John 15. John 15, verse 17, he was so different from the world that they hated him. And as he said, you're piping and I'm not dancing, and you're mourning and I'm not weeping. He said, if the world hates you, and this is he's talking to his apostles, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So how should we see ourselves? According to what he says here, we need to see ourselves as out of the world. And if we see ourselves out of the world, what is the world going to see? They're going to see that we're out of tune with them. We're not doing the things they do. We don't love the things they do. So we need to have a conscious determination to not just to be different in the sense of being different, but being different in not using this temporary things, but seeking only eternal things. And he said, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept your sayings, they will keep yours also. So what happened when Paul went into these different cities and taught the gospel? The world complained, they're taking us away from all these things that we're making money with. Well, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be coming out and being different in the sense of following the eternal things like Jesus did. So what had Jesus done that was wrong that they hated him for? Just not obeying their commands, not following their pattern. So it's what he didn't do that they hated him for, not what he did do. He only did good. But because they would not take part of their vanities, they hated him. What happens today if we don't take part of their vanities and at times their evils? They'll do the same thing for us. So John 17, verse 14, John 17, verse 14, Jesus now praying to the Father, and notice how he's acknowledging that they're following him, and therefore the world hates them. I have given them thy word. So what were they obeying? God's word. and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. And that's the reason why men will hate us, if we're not of the world. Now, what happens if they think that we're just like they are? Are they going to hate us? They won't. They'll accept us just like they do everybody else. So should we be that different that they know there is a difference? Somebody says, well, if I did that, I'd be dismissed. Well, I doubt it, but maybe so. But nevertheless, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, verse 16. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So as we follow the truth, that's what's going to make us different from the world. So we need to find more truth and have more understanding to that truth. And then we'll become more different than the world every time we follow more truth. That's what God is calling us to. Are we interested? So if we're sanctified, the world will love us. The world will not love us. If we're sanctified, the Father will love us. Galatians 2 and verse 14. Can we please God by living like the world around us? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, there's your truth, and this is why they're walking different. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So how was Peter living here in this case? He was submitting to the world and the principles of the world. The Jews were strong in dividing from the Gentiles, and so they were. Peter was tempted to do the same thing. And so Peter then left the Christians and went to the Jews, and of course he fell to that temptation. So are we allowed to hate any man? As we read the political world, we find ourselves learning to hate this kind of people and this kind of people and this kind of people. And what does God call us to do? He calls us to love all men. And then we finally find ourselves saying, well, I sure would like these people to be out of our country and get rid of them. I don't want to be around them. Is that what the Lord commands us to do? So if Peter could be tempted to fall, what about us today? We can be influenced by the world, and quite often are. And we need to see that, and we need to ask the Lord to open our eyes to see when we're being conformed to the world. Ephesians, the second chapter, Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. How shall we live in the world if we are going to be different? These are children of God's wrath. So if we understand that and see why they are children of God's wrath, then we'll understand that we should also be separate from this people and not be conformed to them. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, he says, we're in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So does Satan have any influence on the world to get them to love these material things and to live by these material things? Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. So do we know what these things are like? We've had lots of experience in it. At least when we're children, we have. So then he talks about the specific things that are that we lived in, the desires of the flesh. That word lust is not a bad word in the Greek. It's a good word. But desiring the flesh and the things of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and fulfilling the things of the desires of the mind, that's what the world does. And so if they want to enjoy something and they see they can enjoy it, they give themselves to that and they enjoy the world. And because they are enjoying this world and the flesh and of the mind, they're by nature the children of wrath, even as the others. Remember in Romans 1, he says, God's wrath is revealed. Why? Because men hold the truth. Well, that's not why he's angry with them. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. So the world knows the truth, but they're not holding it the way they should. And the truth is, God's the owner. And whose laws should we all follow? We should all follow the owner's rules. Who should make the rules? 1 Corinthians 15:33. We quite often say, well, they're not bad people. Well, it depends on whose eyes you're seeing the world through. If God is angry with them every day, are they good people? Well, we should see as the Lord sees and not see as men see. So we should see men as being disobedient to the commandments of God, and God is not pleased with that kind of person. So in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, don't be deceived. And why does he give that admonition before he gives a commandment? Because this is what Satan is able to deceive us by. He very easily deceives us to enjoy the world and the things of this world. And he says, evil communication corrupts good manners. So how then, if we see the world as good manners, are we going to be fellowshipping with them? We'll think they're great. We'll think that's the way we ought to be. He says, don't be deceived. So the first thing we need to see is that God is angry with the world. Then we need to see why God is angry with the world. And then we need to see that God is angry because they've given themselves to their own ways and not to God's ways. So if we give ourselves to our own ways, we wouldn't be here today. There'd be a lot of other things we could physically enjoy besides what we're doing here. But if we're giving our hearts to the Lord and loving the things of the Lord, then we want to be here. We want to be encouraged to be more and more separate from the world. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That mind is the key. And we need to have that mind renewed. And we renew it by more understanding. So we need to be seeking more understanding. In the meantime, don't be conformed to this world. So we need not to be deceived that God loves the world in the sense of loves what they're doing. He loves their souls, but is he angry with them about what the good that he sees? No, he's angry because of the evil he sees. And we need to see that same evil. And if we do see that same evil, we'll understand why God is angry with them. Then if God is angry with them, what should we be? Of course, we need to love them. God loves them. We need to encourage them to come out from it. God encourages them to come out from it. And we don't need to be taking part of what they're doing. Ephesians 4, we've heard this many times, but it's good and fits right in here. He gives the goal, the purpose for his children, and that is to be in the image of Christ. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Every one of those are teachers in the church. So what are they teaching? Well, here's the reason he gives these teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. There's your Luke 6:40 word. For being coming in the image of Christ. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying in the image of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. The knowledge of the Son of God. Why? Because we need to be like him. Unto a perfect man. There's your teleos again. Complete man. All the parts of God's love. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? He's in the image of God. What happens if we're in the fullness of the image of Christ? We'll be like God. So verse 17, after he gives that teaching admonition, then he gives some further teaching. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk. So he's telling us to walk like Jesus walked. How's the world walking? Well, it's not like Jesus. So we need to be different from the world. We need to be transformed. Then he says, don't be like the Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. There's your mind again. What is the mind of these people? The mind of these people in the world is that they're going to enjoy the world and the things of the world, and they're not going to lose a chance to enjoy life. So he says they're involved in the vanities of this world. So we need to ask ourselves, when we do something or say something or read something, hear something, we need to ask, have we wasted time? Or are we going to get an eternal reward for what we've just done or what we're just going to do? So we need to think, is this eternal? Is this action or this work I'm involved in, is it going to give me an eternal reward? And if it does, it's not a vanity. What happens if there is no eternal reward for what I'm intending to do or say? Then it's a vanity. He says, don't be like the world. So we're being deceived when we're talking like the world. So he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of the heart. So we need to see more and more. And the world does what they do because they don't see. So the more and more we see, the more different we'll be from the world, and the less we'll be conformed to this world. So are we conformed to this world at all now? You know, we really are. Why? Well, we grew up in the world, and we didn't understand all these things the Lord gives us to understand. So after he sells us to the world, as he does, then he tells us, okay, now come out. And that's the test he gives. Are we going to come out? And so this world then, in verse 19, our past feeling, why? Their conscience is seared. They don't know these things they're doing are wrong. And giving themselves over to lasciviousness, there's your license, I'm free to work all uncleanness. Now, uncleanness not in man's sight, but uncleanness in God's sight. And what's unclean in God's sight? Anything that's not clean. So if it's clean to God, it's part of his eternal purpose. If it's unclean to God, it's not part of his eternal purpose. So if what we're doing or reading or seeing is not part of his eternal purpose, what is it? It's a vanity. And he tells us the world is like that. He says, don't be deceived. But we think, well, these things aren't so bad. Well, are they good? That's what we should say. And if they are good, let's do them and let's think about them. And if they're bad, let's not think about them or do them. So lasciviousness, uncleanness, and greediness. How many do you know don't want more? And how many people don't love President Trump? Well, I understand most don't, but I think most do. Whether they do or not, what's he promising? He's promising more wealth, more money. He says, look what I'm going to be giving you. Look what I'm giving you now. So what's he enticing the men of the world to do? Seek more of enjoyment of this world. And I think it's very interesting. He says, now, if I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to have to do this and this. Well, he says, I don't think I'm going to get to heaven. Well, he plays with that, but what's he doing? Well, he's playing with it. He's telling them, you know, I really don't know, and it really doesn't matter that much. So that's okay. Don't worry about it. Let's get rich. Let's enjoy this world. Should we be deceived? We don't need to be deceived by all these things. And, of course, how many of us would not like to have double salary? I shouldn't have said that. All right, how much eternal reward will we get in speaking about the world events today? What's the definition of a vanity? Ephesians 4, verse 22. Should we determine to consider every pattern of the world around us? This should be a conscious decision to change from the entire old man, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Why? According to deceitful lusts. These desires of men make us feel good, and that's the end of it. Once we do this and feel good, that's the end of it. Then what do we have to do? Have to do it again and again and again. And then at the end of our life, we've done all these things again and again and again, and we look back and say, what have I done? What have I got waiting for me in heaven? And if we're not wise, we have nothing. If we're wise, we'll be storing up more and more treasure in heaven. And so we need to put off concerning the former conversation. Do we know it? We know it well. We've all experienced it. We know exactly what we should put off if we understand the truth. And so the more truth we understand, the more we see that we should put off. So we need more and more truth and more understanding, because these are deceitful desires. Why? Because everybody's doing it. And if everybody's doing it, it must be right. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, if we were going to do that today and start that work, what would we do? Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Well, what is the mind? The mind is got a base in knowledge. That's where the word comes from. Gnosis and new. Gnosis is knowledge. New is the mind. Any connection there? So here we need more of this knowledge of God. He calls it truth. In the Old Testament, he says, the kindness and truth of God endures forever. Kindness and truth, over and over, especially in the Psalms. God is very kind, but he's also got that truth and knows how to be kind according to that truth. Well, if we don't know the truth, how can we be conformed to that truth and have our minds formed the right way? So we need that knowledge. We need to understand the knowledge, or Satan gets to take it away. So be renewed, that's getting back to the new one. Need to get back to what we were if we slipped, in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Well, how do we know the new man to put on if we don't have that truth? We've got to have the truth and more truth to see more of the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. And if we don't get more and more truth of his mind and heart, then how can we grow more and more into his image? Well, most of us are satisfied to be as we are. And so we don't put much effort into this, but we do put lots of effort into our own things, the things that we like and the things that we enjoy. What should we do? Romans 12:3, we come back to the beginning again. This step to be transformed includes not to think about ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So how do we think of ourselves? Well, we're always right. We're just like the world. If we're not like the world and we're different from the world, will we always be right? We need to see where we're wrong. So this one, not to think of himself, this word think, is phroneo, which ultimately comes from the word mind. So we need that knowledge in our minds so we don't esteem ourselves over much. And that's that literal word there, more highly than we ought to think. That thinking is to esteem over much. So that comes to the word to exercise the mind, the phroneo, and that comes to the word frame, which is to rein in or curb. So we need to put a fence around these things. So we should compare ourselves according to the mount. We are like Christ. How can we do that if we don't know Christ? How can we know more about Christ if we don't get new truth and new knowledge and new understanding? So that's our job that God has given. And like Solomon said, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised thereby. So we need to agree this is a sore travail. And we need, like Solomon, he said he gave his heart to search out all things under heaven. Well, there's a lot under heaven. But where do we find all the truth about what's under heaven? Right here in God's Word. So do we have the ability to be transformed? Do we have the ability by renewing our mind? We have it if we'll take time to do it. So we're encouraged here today to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. If you're not a member of the Lord's body and you know what you need to do to become part of Christ's body, part of his kingdom, part of God's family, we would encourage you to seek the Lord and to give your heart to him. And he's told us that in order to come into the kingdom, we need to be born of water and of the Spirit. And if we're born of water and the Spirit, we're born into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ. And the Lord will receive us, and he'll encourage us in these things we've been talking about so that we can have an eternal reward. If you need the prayers of the church, we would encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.